Exactly. And one of my favorite books is Eric Fromm's Revolution of Hope. Right? So what he says, we are at a sort of at a crossroads. And of course, he wrote this in the 60s. Right? So who knows which path we've taken. But he says, either we can develop the technological mind more and more so that we become subservient to the machines more and more ways, or we can develop the human dimensions. And he says, ultimately, it's faith, hope, and love that we have to develop, right? And so he calls it the revolution of hope, and then he goes through the various things that are not hope. And ultimately, if you want to take a very contemporary person, Chris Hedges, is not his latest book, but almost latest book, was Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt, right? So he shows basically going through the U.S., you know, from First Nations reserves to mountaintop removal sites to the tomato fields in Florida. And just these are the sacrifice zones of our current system in which we are operating. And ultimately, what we need is a revolt. But the revolt can take many different forms, right? So you have to find which pond you're going to throw your pebble in. But his statement is, you know, people were asking, he was speaking in Edmonton, and asking him, you know, about hope and whatever. He says, well, if you do not act, you do not have hope. You know, ultimately, that's what the revolution is. With other words, you have a will for the future, and you are going to act in life-giving ways. But what I like from Wendell Berry is the phrase, but don't think big. It's the big ideas that have messed up the world. If you have one big idea, you impose it on the rest of the world, whether the agriculture is in India or in British Columbia or in the prairies, you're going to be destructive. We don't need a big idea. We need many, many little ideas that are appropriate for our context, for our area, for our life, for our community, right? So that's why you have to find these ponds. So it isn't, we're now solving the world's problems. No, let's solve Victoria's, or let's solve Sydney's, or let's solve our neighborhoods, right? So that's where you engage, or our baby's foods problem, right? You start with very, very concrete, very specific things. But it's amazing, actually, you know, as you mentioned, the organic, that's still the fastest growing part of the food business, is people getting more local. And it's not Walmart organic, it's actually a different approach towards food, right? And that people can relate to food because we all eat it, you know, so that's a pretty intimate way of connecting, you know. And that's 2 weeks from now, that's in fact the theme we will have, you know, so the vocation of, you know, land and food systems, you know, how can be called, you know, and I have more and more students who actually want to farm. And I think it's excellent. Get your BA, get your master's or your PhD, and go out and farm. But then have a good mentor. You need some people who mentor you. Don't just run in, because idealism by itself doesn't do it. You have to actually know. And that's the biggest fear, is that we're losing the knowledge, but that people who have worked in an area or in a community or on the land, and we're losing that because we're no longer passing it on to the next generation. That's an immediate. Yes. Pardon? Yes.
Too much irrigation.
Yes.
Too much.
Exactly.
Fertilizers.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah, and that's the, you know, that's Wendell Berry's concern, and I see it in Alberta, you know, so over even the 34 years that I have taught there, you know, because I, you know, we talk about a lot of rural stuff, but when I check with my students, maybe half the student body still has rural backgrounds, it's amazing how many no longer have produced any food. They don't know how to preserve, you know, so all of that, producing food, preserving food, you know, and that for a local vegetable garden, almost always on farms was still organic, right? So those basic sets of knowledge, you know, was there, and we've lost basically, you know, almost one or two generations already there. So that's an important. Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. No, and that's part of exactly part of this, you know, healing movement. People are actually, if you want, going back to the future. There is a lot of stuff our ancestors knew. You know, or in our favorite village in Mexico, Amatlan, which is about an hour 45 south of Mexico City in the highlands there, people have lived there for 4,000 years. Like they know something about survival and how to live with their land without destroying it. You know, and in our exchange, we did 4 months in rural Alberta and then 4 months in rural Mexico. And supposedly under development studies, the students realized, actually, it's us that have to learn, right, rather than trying to develop Mexico. Those are actually the sustainers. They still know how to build out of adobe and you know, whatever, and they know how to cultivate, and they know that you always plant corn and squash and beans together. And it's amazing how many years that can keep on going without destroying the land, right? So those kind of things are there. So I think that's part of the what we hope to do is, you know, act of hope means we reconnect or connect into larger networks of people and we ourselves, we work on ourselves, you know, reflect on ourselves rather than sort of, okay, let's play the blame game. But what is our personal or collective revolution kind of going to be? But Carmel, if you want to carry on with what we do in the next while, and with the structure.
And it's something that profound. As a student of Dittmarsh and as a very passionate teenager, I went into development studies. I'll tell you a little bit of the story. Caring so deeply about the things that I was seeing, and I was particularly passionate about an area, the downtown East Side area, and of seeing healing there. And I very much went into this program. So much excitement and kind of this idea that I would get the tools to go and save everybody, including Africa, right? And it was just that very sort of naive idea that that's, it was up to me, it was a savior complex that is reflective of the culture that I grew up in, right? And I mean, we can analyze that and look at, you know, white dynamics and things like that as well. But ultimately, I went in with a really good intention, an intention of helping others. I didn't yet see how I would be a part of that. I came to that later. But it's funny how in that whole process, these courses and this approach to my education, which was always community, the foundation was always building community, it kind of turned my life not only upside down, but upside down and right into the soil. And I came to see that to respond to these things that I did care about, that were global in scope, was to learn how to plant community in Oklahoma and learn how to host potlucks and learn who my neighbor was. And it was this something that's like so simple and basic that you kind of can't believe it. It's like, is that, it's too good to be true, but that's ultimately how we solve these crises is by being a really beautiful room. And so I've now had friends that ask me, okay, well, that's really great, and I like that idea, and that's exciting, but how do you care? So we can talk about how, you know, this is the panacea, is coming from a place of love and a place of motivation, but what's the first step to even caring? A lot of the authors that we like to read, they all say, well, the first thing we have to do is we need to get to know it. If we want to care about our community, if we want to care about our land, if we want to care about ourselves, we need to get to know them all. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do in the 10 weeks that we have together, is getting to know each other and getting to know our communities and getting to know ourselves, so that we can really foster that love and deepen it, because it's already there, but just to deepen it. And so the structure that we've sort of set up for ourselves is every 2 weeks we'll gather in these large groups, and we have a theme that we focus around. So in 2 weeks from now, we'll look at really land and food systems and what caring for our creation, what that means for that specifically. So those are every 2 weeks we gather, but in between weeks, we're going to ask that we get together in smaller groups, and we'll take like 5 minutes or so to kind of organize ourselves. And what we've done is on our website, which is spiritoflemon.ca, I think most of you have gotten a link to that, but if you don't, just let me know and I'll send that to you. So on there, we have sort of four options. So gather in a group if you can. We really encourage you to gather in a group. If you can't, do this on your own.
A group could be one person, two people, three people, right?
So. Yeah. You could also, if you forgot to organize yourself tonight, you can also just walk over to your neighbor and create a group that way, too. We've kind of listed four or five different options for every week of ways to engage. And so they're experiential, and they're reflective in structure. So it might involve, like one of the options that I put up there was take 20 minutes, either on your own or with another couple, and go out into nature. And it might just be your backyard, or it might be hiking on a trail. And take 5 minutes just being attentive to the sounds, 5 minutes attentive to what you're seeing, 5 minutes to what you're feeling, in 5 minutes, what it feels like to just breathe is air. And so that's an experience. And then throughout the 2 weeks in between, do some reflecting on that. And then the last thing that we're going to ask you to do during those 2 weeks is do some reflecting on what that means for you personally, what that might mean for you as a community. And then, on the website, share it. Write a paragraph, a sentence, write a poem, compose a song, however it is that you want to.
Or post your favorite video or anything.
Yeah, anything. And share that with this community. And you may be surprised to know that it's quite a large community that's connected through Spirit of the Land all over Western Canada. And I think it's really important that we're actually starting to connect province to province now and seeing that there's so much that we share in common. I know there's a whole group of young people and old people in Alberta waiting to engage with you through that website. And then they can, like, you can reply to people and just continue a conversation in that way too, because that's important. And that's a beautiful use of our modern technology, is that we can actually connect physical place to physical place, and in that way be in solidarity with each other. So that's kind of the structure that we're hoping to go with.
And everybody who's registered with Carmel, you've been already listed as an author, so you can automatically go onto the blog and post the blog, and it'll show up. So,
So let's maybe just take a few minutes, and this will be like our last stretch break. Take a few minutes, and could you maybe exchange some contact information with those around you, and commit to me
at least once.
At least once. And you don't need to find a date right. But at least exchange that contact information and make a commitment so that you'll meet just once before our next gathering, which is on March 17th. So take about 5 minutes, and then we'll come back and we just have some reflective contemplative readings to sort of conclude our time together.
And aside from those experiential activities, we also have readings. So people, you know, some week might be just as good. You know, okay, I'll read that, and then you share your readings or discuss those. That, because a reading is an experience as well, right? You're engaging the Wendell Berry or a Bill McKibben or whoever we're suggesting, or a Richard Love, The Last Child in the Woods, or whatever. You're engaging them. That becomes an experience, and then you can reflect on how that's relevant to you or whatever. So.
Yeah.